Coming up right now is Bookmarked with Sarah McCoy. This is our monthly, occasionally, whenever we decide we want to do it, show about books and authors with our dear friend, New York Times bestselling author, Sarah McCoy. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, guys. Very happy to be here.
Glad to be with you again. And you've got a special guest that you've known for a long time.
Very special.
She's got a brand new book out. It's called Searching for Sylvie Lee. And please introduce Jean Kwok.
This is my friend Jean Kwok. She is a New York Times bestseller. She is fabulous. She is from Holland. And you know I love my Dutch, so she is just all those things and more. Her new book is called Searching for Sylvie Lee, as Jim just told you. And I just want to read. So I don't always do this, but you know how excited I am about a book when I go and I find quotes to read because I want people to hear how wonderful this is. So the Washington Post just reviewed this book and said, "This is a beautifully written story in which the author evokes the hard reality of being an immigrant and a woman in today's world. It was named a noteworthy book for 2019 by BookBub, Marie Claire, Huffington Post, Nylon, Book Riot, Crime Reads, Women's World, Time Magazine, and was most recently made the book club pick for June for the Today Show by Jenna Bush Hager." So, I mean, that is a lot. She is on a whirlwind 6-city tour right now from Amsterdam, and Winston-Salem is one of her choice cities. She just flew in from Atlanta, and then she's off to Cleveland next. But today, Jean, you are all ours. I almost said mine. She's all mine, but she's ours today. So we are here right now giving everyone a little teaser on this book and just having a nice chat together. We haven't seen each other we should let people know. We've been friends for years. We were friends at first online, and then we met at Tucson Festival of Books. With Scott Turow, and we had a big, and Ian LaPucky, and we had a big dinner together, and that's when we just sort of were like, oh my gosh, how have I not met you in person before? This feels like a sister friend, and we just absolutely bonded then, right?
Absolutely.
That was such a fun time. So we became friends then, and when she was putting out this new book through our same publisher, William Morrow, HarperCollins, I said, you have to come to Winston-Salem, and I will just throw open the doors for you. And I have, and I love her, and I am so excited to have her with us today. So Searching for Sylvie Lee, do you want me to give a little plot, or do you want to give us a teaser?
Whatever.
How about you give us a little teaser? Because okay. I'm doing all the talking. And she is so fabulous.
She talks a lot. But we both talk a lot. So get ready for a lot of talking here today. So, yeah, no, Sarah's so fantastic. And she brought me in. So I'm so excited to be here her show. And then we're also going to be reading tonight at 7 p.m. at Bookmarks.
Right. So, and I will let everyone know all that information at the end. I even have it printed off so you can get a close-up of it. So we're going to definitely give you that, those details.
Right. So basically, Searching for Sylvie Lee, the question is, what is this book and what is it about? It's basically it's a suspenseful family drama about these long-buried secrets that tie together three women, a mother and her two sisters, and her two daughters. And it's about what happens when the older, dazzling, brilliant, beautiful daughter goes to the Netherlands on a trip to visit her dying grandmother and disappears. And her younger, timid sister has to actually pull herself together and try to find out what happened to her. So that's the basic story behind Searching for Sylvie Lee.
Okay, and knowing you as well as I do, I know that this is fiction, but it is somewhat inspired and based on some events in your own life. Can you tell us a little bit about your brother? And I don't want to give too much away because I'm not sure how much you want readers to know or not know with that, but just
Right. So Sarah knows that I, this is my third novel, and I basically write from trauma to trauma. So it's
but
like,
in a very good way.
In a positive way. In a good way.
Some of my most favorite books ever, even reading this, just to interrupt real fast, reading this, in the middle of reading this, I was at the pool with my husband sitting next to me, and I said, oh, he said, what, what's wrong? I said, oh, it's just her prose. They are just beautiful. I said, listen to this sentence, and I just read it to him, and he said, what does that have to do with the story? I was like, that's even better. So, I mean, story to prose, she is a master, and I don't say that about very many people, to be honest.
Well, so. Sarah, of course, is a master herself, so she is incredibly kind to say that. So basically, you know, people ask, what is this book about? And the beating heart of this book is indeed the disappearance of my brother. Mm-hmm. And to give you some context about that, I have to backtrack, which is that, you know, I'm a first generation Chinese American immigrant. We moved from Hong Kong to the United States when I was 5 years old. And when we moved here to New York City, we were very poor. And we lived in an apartment that didn't even have a central heating system. I worked in a factory as a child in Chinatown, and I'd go there every day after school. And my brother, Quan, who is 10 years older than me, would actually not only go to high school and work you know, in the factory after school every day, but after like 9 or 10 o'clock when I would go home, he would actually go on to a second job waiting tables until like 2 or 3 in the morning. And so he was someone who was very important to me. And my brother was the one who inspired me to write in the first place, and he supported me always. He was always, I have to tell you, a little bit like the golden child while I was the black sheep. So,
hard to imagine.
Noel, he was a boy. He was older than me. He's not very clumsy in the kitchen the way I am. So, you know, I mean, if you follow me on social media, you know that I might burn things once in a while.
And we fought over this. I burned tonight's dinner, so did I. Okay.
Right. A smoke detector went off again. So, you know, he was always very like an extremely competent, brilliant person. And he really broke that cycle of poverty that we were in, that he was the one who kind of got out and went to MIT. And that showed me that, okay, maybe I can also get out of this life that we're living. And so when I wrote my first novel, Girl in Translation, that novel is actually very much based on the history I just told you of growing up very poor in New York City and working in a factory. And when I wrote that novel became a big success, and it was a huge shock to me. But it was, you know, as a writer, you know how that is. It's like your dreams are coming true. You know, you work so hard for so many years. Everyone and their mother is rejecting you. You know, they are. They're like, no, this is horrible, no, honey. Just stop this. You know, don't do this anymore. The world has enough writers. So I had heard that for so many years. And finally, not only was my book published, but it was successful. The book was a New York Times bestseller. It's been translated and it's out in 18 countries, and it's taught in schools. So it was kind of like the, you know, the ultimate, you know, dream coming true. But at the same time, my brother disappeared. So my most beloved brother, who I looked up to and who, you know, kind of took care of me all those years, he didn't come home for Thanksgiving. And we were so shocked, because he's a very responsible person who would never do that. And we knew that something was very, very wrong. And of course, you know, my first instinct was something is really, really wrong. We have to call Quan and he'll figure out what to do. But he himself was the person who was missing. So kind of like Amy, who's the younger sister in Searching for Sylvie Lee, I, you know, Quan and I always loved each other, but he was kind of in my family, at least, he was the one who had it all and did it all, and he took care of things. And people actually listened when he spoke. Well, I'm like Cassandra, you know, no one ever listens to anything I say. Well, in my family, at least.
Yeah.
So I had to step up. You know, he was gone, and no one knew what had happened to him. So I had to step up and try to figure out what happened. And that's really the beating emotional heart of Searching for Sylvie Lee.
So now, he was the eldest.
He was older than me. He wasn't the eldest.
Okay,
we're the youngest of seven, yeah.
Wow.
It's a lot of kids, a lot of kids.
Okay, so tell me the, because I have a thing about birth order. So what was he in the birth
order? He was number six.
He was six and
I'm seven.
And you were seven.
So like in a Chinese family, it goes like what determines your place in the hierarchy is if you're a boy or a girl. Like all the males are above and how old you are. So I'm a girl and number seven. So you can imagine how high I ranked.
Oh, stop. But I mean, it's very interesting, though, that those cultural aspects, I can absolutely, I'm like thinking about all, now that you've talked about it, all of that that she just said, trust me, is in this book, particularly that idea of the different cultures that are merging. I know that the immigrant story is absolutely what this narrative is, and yet it's so much more. And can you talk about how the different cultures? So Ma is Chinese, and she speaks from that context. And then we have Sylvie, who grows up or lives a majority of her younger years and associates mostly with the Dutch. And then we have Amy, who grows up in America, and it's English, American English. And so you have these three different perspectives, these three different cultural contexts, that you've brilliantly all written them in English, and yet we feel and understand and know that there is a lens that we're seeing through each. And then the braiding of those three is the mystery, as well as finding out what happened to Sylvie.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the braiding of the three is a way for us to almost as readers feel that globality. I don't even think that's a word. That's not a word. But that was so masterfully done. Did you go into it thinking that I want to write three different, all in English though, but three different language scopes, that mystery of how those three women, the mother and the two daughters, how they interact?